Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Tzadi Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning from the third line from the top on Daf Tzadi Tes, where the Gemara quotes the Dibur HaMaskil from the Mishnah, Shnayim Shenisarvu Pischeyem V'chulei. In order to appreciate this section of Gemara, it is necessary to go over the relevant section from the Mishnah that's found on Daf Tzadi Ches Amid Beis on the previous Amid. This you will find on the lower part of the page. There is a slash mark that you'll notice around 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Shnayim Shenisarvu Pischeyem. We're reading from the Mishnah now at the bottom of Tzadi Ches Amid Beis. There are two people whose Korban Pesachs got mixed up. Ze Moishech Loi Echod, Veze Moishech Loi Echod. So if we use names to appreciate the example of the Mishnah, we have Reuven and Shimon are, we'll call them for the time being, original owners of a Korban Pesach, each one a separate Korban Pesach. The animals got mixed up. So Reuven draws to him another person from the public. We'll call him Levi. And Shimon partners up with a fellow by the name of Yehuda. That's what's meant by this expression of Zeh Mimana Imo Echod Minashuk, Vishuk being the market or the public, Vizeh Mimano Imo Echod Minashuk. Zeh Bo Eitzel Zeh, Vizeh Bo Eitzel Zeh. Reuven will go to Yehuda, who is partnered up with Shimon, who took one of the animals, and Shimon will go to Levi, who was Reuven's partner. Vekach heim omrim, and thusly, Reuven and Shimon will say to the people they are standing with right now. As we mentioned, Reuven goes to Yehuda, who was Shimon's partner, and Shimon goes to Levi, who was Reuven's partner. And thusly, they say, Im shelihu pesach zeh, if the animal that you took is really mine, then yodecha meshuchos mishelcha, v'nimneis al sheli, then your hands, or means your chelik, your ownership, in what really is yours is withdrawn, and you are now counted on mine. V'im shelcha hu pesach zeh, and if that which you and your partner drew is really yours, then yodai meshuchos mishali v'nimnesi al shelcha. Then I withdraw from my korban pesach and I join up with you. Let's look at the Rashi on this section of the Mishnah as well. We're looking at the Rashi, Dibur HaMaskil Shenisarvu Pischeyem. On the inside column, more than halfway down, Reuven v'Shimon Shenisarvu Pischeyem. As we mentioned, Reuven and Shimon, we call them original owners, each one of their own Korban Pesach, respectively. And they got mixed up. Reuven Moshech Lo Echod v'Shimon Moshech Lo Echod. Reuven draws one of the animals, not knowing whether it's really his own or it's Shimon's, and Shimon draws an animal. Reuven holech umimana imoy es Levi. With our markings in the Rashi, you'll notice we use diamonds for Reuven and Levi to indicate they go together, and later on, triangles with Shimon and Yehuda to indicate they go together. So Reuven went and appointed Levi from Levi Minashufi Omer, and Reuven says to Levi, Kol Mokim Shehu Pesach Shali, whichever one of the animals is my Pesach, Hare Atom Nimne Olav, you become a partner with me on my Pesach. So Levi is officially appointed to the Pesach of Reuven. And likewise, Shimon Mimane Imoy Es Yehuda Min Hashuk Da'af Shavu Shnayim Al Kol Echod Kol Mokom Shu. At this point then, we have two people who are owners or partners in the Korban Pesach, wherever the proper one may be with respect to each individual here. The Mishnah went on to say, Zeh Bo Eitzel Zeh. The Rashi explains, Reuven Bo Lo Eitzel Pesach Shemoshach Lo Shimon. V'Shimon Bo Lo Eitzel Pesach Shemoshach Lo Reuven. Shimon draws near the Pesach that Shimon drew for himself, and Shimon goes to the Pesach, to the animal that Reuven had drawn. V'chein Omer Reuven Yehuda. Thusly, Reuven says to Yehuda, Yehuda is the one that joined up together with Shimon, so Reuven comes over to Yehuda, and we want to point out, before we go further, that Yehuda was not appointed to this Korban Pesach at the point of its original purchase. He joined up, Yehuda joined up with Shimon only later on. He joined up after the switch had taken place. That point will be of value later in our shiur. So Reuven comes to Yehuda, Hanishar al Pesach Shabiru lo Shimon, Yehuda who remains next to the animal that Shimon had drawn. And Reuven says to Yehuda, Im shelcha hu Pesach zeh, sheyofa birer lo Shimon, tchila, if this really is shayach to you, meaning you and your partner Shimon, that Shimon took when he chose the mixed up animals, he actually chose that which was originally his. So if this is really yours, Hare Yodai Meshuchos Mishali, I withdraw from mine, and if Reuven withdraws from his own animal, that will leave Levi alone for the time being on Reuven's original korban. So Reuven is withdrawing from his own real korban. V'hareini nimne imcho al zeh, and I, Reuven, am going to be. I'll join up with you, Yehuda, on this one. The im sheli hu pesach zeh, if that which Shimon drew was really mine, says Reuven, then namely shelo kivaninu levara tchilo yofeh. We didn't, when we, that means Reuven and Shimon, originally drew the mixed up animals, did not choose their correct animals. The ein ze pesach shenimnes olav im Shimon, and this is not the. And this animal that you're standing with is not the one that you joined up with when you joined up with Shimon. So hare yodecha meshuchos mishalcha. So then you are withdrawing from your animal, the himona alze, and then be appointed to this one which is really mine. Rashi goes on to explain why it was necessary to do each one of these things the way it was done. But for our purposes, the main point that Rashi makes in this procedure is that through this method, at no point was a Pesach left alone without any form of ownership over it. Hence, it was important for Reuven and Shimon to make the appointments of Levi and Yehuda respectively before these conditions and arrangements were stated. Now that we have learned the background necessary for the Gemara, we turn to Daf Tzadi Tes Omid Aleph. We pick up the Gemara from the fourth line from the top. Lemo Masnisin Delo Kareb Yehuda. Let us suggest that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, when you see a lema in Gemaras, it's a question, it's a suggestion that almost all the time will be rejected later on. And if you skip the Tanaic source that you see in the frame at this point, just a few lines down, you'll see where Rabbi Yochanan picks up, and he says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan filu tema Rabbi Yehuda, that you can in fact set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, not like we're suggesting right now. But for the time being, we have to appreciate why the Gemara is raising this possibility of, or suggesting that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Before we go further, let's take a look at the nosei, the topic heading that we've assigned to this section of Gemara as well. The nosei on the outside margin, b'taruvas psochim, when korban pesachs get mixed up, ha'im yesh tzorech shisharu mihabaylim horishonim im kol pesach. Is there any necessity of having an original owner that remains with each Pesach? So let's see what the Gemara intends. The Gemara suggests that maybe the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Let us glance at the Rashi also. Third line from the top, the low Rabbi Yehuda, Deboi shihe echod mi bnei chabura horishona kayam olav. Rabbi Yehuda requires that when the arrangement that we saw mentioned in the Mishnah, when that arrangement takes place, the deals and the reappointments that take place, as we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda insists that an original owner stays with each Pesach. Deha vaday oison shnayim sheviu min ashuk. In the example we saw in the Mishnah, we saw Levi and Yehuda were the two people that Reuven and Shimon respectively had brought from the public to be appointed to the animals before any further deals were made. Those two, Einon Chashuvin Mibnei Chabura, they are not considered from the original members of the group assigned to the Pesach. Hoyu v'lo hoyu b'shas likichoson. They were not members at the point the original animals were purchased. If you recall, this is a point we mentioned when we were reading the Rashi on the Mishnah, that we mentioned at that point that Yehuda was not appointed to the Pesach at the point it was purchased, but rather joined up after the mix-up had taken place. So in the example that we saw in the Mishnah, Levi and Yehuda were not original members. The Al Korchuch Rebbe Yehuda, the Rashi points out that the Rebbe Yehuda that we'll see shortly in the Tanaic source that we have not read yet, but Rebbe Yehuda has to be going Abnei Sha'as Likichoso Kopid, that he is concerned with the members being of those people that were at the time of the purchase. The I Amenuyim Boser Hochi Sagi, because if it would be a sufficient to have people staying with the Pesach, people who were appointed later on, later than the purchase point, then my Iko Bein Didei the Reb Yossi. And what will be the point of difference between Reb Yehuda, whom we haven't seen yet in the source, and Reb Yossi, who appears in the same source? With that introduction in mind, let's now turn to the Mishnah, to the Tanaic source. The Sanya, V'im Yim'at Habayis Miyos Miseh. Melamed. This pasuk, which is found by the Korban Pesach, tells us, Shemismatin V'holchin, that people who are appointed can depart from the original group if they want, and withdraw. Provided that one of the original purchase members remains associated with the Korban Pesach. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And we will point out once again that in the example of the Mishnah, we had a possibility when Reuven was speaking to Yehuda, for example. We have a possibility that on each Pesach, you did not have, there did not remain an original owner. For example, in the case we saw in the Mishnah, where Reuven, at the point at which Reuven suggested that maybe Yehuda, together with Shimon, had taken the correct Pesach, that Yehuda is associated with Shimon's animal. And Yehuda, and we saw Reuven withdrawing from his ownership on his own original Korban Pesach and joining up with Yehuda on Yehuda's animal. At that point where Reuven withdrew from his own animal, who was left
with that animal, with the Reuven animal. Well, Levi was left with that animal. Well, Levi, in all due respect, he wasn't an original owner. He did not. He wasn't one of the charter members, if you will. He was not one of the purchasers of that. He was brought in after the mix-up took place. So we see that the fact that our Mishnah allows a situation where a Korban Pesach, though it's not left unowned, it's left with an owner, but he is not an original owner. Once again, where Reuven withdraws from his animal and joins up with the Yehuda animal, the original Reuven animal doesn't have an original member with it. So that position or that description does not conform to Rabbi Yehuda's perception of how things should be with regard to a Korban Pesach. Continuing in the Brisa, in this Tanaic source, which is in the frame, Rabbi Yossi says, "Uvad shelo yanicho es haPesach kamos shehu." Kamos shehu means without any ownership. The pasuk insists that as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that if people are withdrawing from a Korban Pesach, they can withdraw, join up with new groups if they like. Before, of course, it's slaughtered, and the only hakpoda, the only concern that Rabbi Yossi has is that you don't have all of a sudden everyone withdrawing, leaving no one associated with a particular animal. So at this point, we have come to the end of the question, the lame-aw question, which you can see we indicated with a long question marking, the shin that's encircled in the space to the immediate side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds and says, "Afilu tamal Rabbi Yehuda." Our Mishnah can, in fact, conform to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, our Mishnah is concerned with the presence of an original owner on the Korban Pesach. But you'll ask, but in our example, Yehuda and Levi, they were not original owners. Well, believe it or not, Kevan the Omer of Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda has an additional halacha, an additional legal concern, which says, "Ein shochten es haPesach al haYochid." Remember in our Mishnah example, we had Reuven was an original owner of his Korban Pesach, and Shimon an original owner of his Korban Pesach, and they got mixed up. Could those animals have been slaughtered in before their mix-up as things were? Namely, Reuven alone on his animal, and Shimon associated alone with his animal? No. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he just said, "Ein shochten es haPesach al haYochid." As a result of that, Reuven had to originally, or inevitably, he had to appoint someone together with him on his Korban Pesach. In other words, from the point of purchase, Levi was destined to be a member. Meikora le'emnuye achrino b'hadekoi. Le'emnuye means to appoint. That Meikora, from the outset, from the actual point of purchase, where Reuven purchased his animal, it was destined that Levi would join up with him. And as a result of that, uke'echod mibnei chabura domi. And Levi, with regard to Reuven, Yehuda, with regard to Shimon, are viewed as if they are original owners of the Korban Pesach, original partners in the ownership of the Korban Pesach from the point of purchase. Therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is Ein Shochten es haPesach al haYochid, the bringing in of Levi and Yehuda do not represent latecomers, but they represent actual original people. Omar Ravashi, Masnisin Nami Daiko. Ravashi says that by careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see this illustrated. Dikotoni. This, when we say we can see this illustrated, we can see that the Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that from the examples that we see in the Mishnah, there is a concern that the group that is part of the Korban Pesach, when we have mix-ups taking place, that there remain original members appointed to the Korban Pesach, that there remains at least one original member. So from the example of the Mishnah, we see that it really does reflect Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Kotani, the Mishnah teaches, and this is also from our Mishnah on Sadi Chesamid Beis, in order to find this section where this quote is coming from, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a Tzadi Chesomid Beis indicator. And if you glance back at Tzadi Chesomid Beis, you'll notice the lower part of the page, an arrow also to the right-hand side of the text, indicating Tzadi Tesomid Aleph. And what's the example the Mishnah cited there? Here it's quoted in our frame, and we should also note that this section of Gemara constitutes a long point starting from Rav Ashi. You can see the nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text till the end. This is one point. So Rav Ashi says that our Mishnah is also meduyok, bearing out Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a Korban Pesach, when there's a, let's say, a group redistribution, that the Pesach is not left alone without an original purchase member associated with it. The Mishnah says, V'chein chomesh chaburos shel chamisha chamisha. The Mishnah was describing a case of Korban Pesach, where animals got mixed up. Five animals got mixed up. These five animals originally had groups of five people with each animal. So in the Mishnah's scenario, there are 25 people part of a Korban Pesach mix-up. And in the Mishnah's example, how the solution takes place involves the redistribution of the people with conditions mentioned, as we learned in the Mishnah. But you'll notice that there must remain an original member associated with each animal before the Mishnah story can unfold. And that's what the Gemara points out here, says Shel Chamisha In, that each group, in the case of five animals, had to have five people associated. Avol shel chamisha v'arbo lo, but the arrangement in the Mishnah would not have worked had you had, let's say, four groups of five and one animal with only four members on it. Now, what would have been the problem if you had a case like that where one of the five animals had a group of only four people associated with it? Lav mishum delo payish chad mibnei chabura gabei. Is it not so that the problem in that case is that you would not have had one original member with it? Because those four members would have fanned out to the other animals, leaving no original member with that particular group. Shema Mino. So this shows conclusively that the Mishnah is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Before we go any further, let's glance at the Rashi, who you see in the outside margin, outside Rashi column, being that there's no Tosfos on this section. The Rashi says, "My Taimo." Why is it that the Mishnah did not cite as an example where five Korban Pesachs got mixed up, four groups of five and one group of four? Rashi says, "My time alav mishum velo posh echad mibnei chabura gabei shim nischalfu pischon shel elu leoisa chabura shenischatsho achrekein sheyesh arbo me arba chaburos." Because on the new group that forms in that case that would join up with that animal, there would be four people at that with that animal. But from the original four, there would be no one there, because they would have fanned out. So with that in mind, and of course you can take advantage of the illustration that we have on the side of the Gemara, which indicates how, with the groups of five, they redistribute. You'll notice that in the illustration that we have on the side of the Gemara, in each case, the first line, you have the redistribution of each one of the animals. So, in each case, the first line represents an original member. So we had, for example, taking the first group of people, we have it titled as the Chaluka Chadosha Shel Chomesh HaChaburos, where the original Chaburos were called Aleph 1 through 4, that we noted just above this. We have Aleph 1 through 4. Aleph is the animal, with you have 1 and 4 more people, a total of 5 people, and the Bays, the second animal, 1 plus another 4, 5 people with that, and Gimel, the third animal, with its 5 people, Dalid and Hay, as we just mentioned. Then when there's a redistribution of that, so we have under the Chaluka Chadosha Shel Chomesh HaChaburos, we have illustrated Aleph 1, that means you're looking at the original Korban, Aleph, and Mr. 1 is from that original group. Who joins up with that? So, from the Mr. 2 from the Bays animal, Mr. 2 from the Gimel animal, Mr. 2 from the Dalet animal, and Mr. 2 from the Hay animal. What you see then is that with the original, with the Aleph animal, Mr. 1 is there. And in the next case, you have the Bays animal, Mr. 1 remains with that. And who joins up with the Bays animal, with Mr. 1 who remains on the Bays animal? So the original Mr. 2 from the Aleph animal joins there. Etc. With that, we conclude our learning of the ninth perek of Psochim, and now we continue with the tenth perek Arve Psochim on Tzadi Tes Amid Beis. Like the name suggests, Arve Psochim, the perek will deal with halachas regarding Erev Pesach, halachas that focus primarily on halachas of eating before the Seder night, and halachas concerning the Seder itself will appear later in the perek. We will also discuss halachas related to Kiddush that's recited at the Seder night, and brachas concerning the wine associated with the Kiddush. In addition to these points, there will be a number of dapim that are of an agadic nature, with numerous issues of a rather mystical content, which we will see, Emir Tzashem, as we go on in our shiurim. Turning to the Mishnah, Arve Psochim Samuch Lemincha. Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetechshach. Erev Pesach, we're talking about the 14th of Nisan, in the afternoon hours, and at this point, as we present the Mishnah, we're deliberately not going to be too specific so as to allow room for the Gemara and the details to be spelled out later. But we're talking about Erev Pesach in the afternoon hours. A person should not be involved with eating until darkness. And the main reason given for this is that we want the person to eat the matzah that he eats Seder night with a degree of desire, which we call b'te'avon. And in order for a person to have an appetite for the matzah, it's ruled by the Mishnah that one should not fill himself up Erev Pesach, because if he does so, he won't be able to eat the matzah with a sense of desire. And it's pointed out by the Rashi that eating the matzah with te'avon is a hiddur mitzvah. Is a way of fulfilling the mitzvah with added importance. Afilu oni shebisrael lo yoichal ad shiyosev. Now, to appreciate this section of the Mishnah, there really are two pshatim that are pointed out by the Tosfos. On the translation level, the Mishnah is telling us that even a poor man shall not eat Erev on his Seder night until he is reclining. The reclining method, or position, while eating is a sign of freedom. Let us glance at the Tosfos to appreciate the Hesber, the explanation of what this line is doing here. The lower part of the page, the Tosfos, V'afilu oni shebisrael lo yochal ad shiyosev. One point, number one, the Salka Daitoch, one might have thought, without this being taught in the Mishnah, the Hasevas oni lo chashiva haseba, that the reclining of a poor man is not considered real reclining. The ein lo alma lo hasev, he doesn't really have on what to recline. Standard reclining might have been on a type of reclining bed, but an impoverished individual doesn't have the means of reclining in that fashion. The aims that there are chayrus. So one might have thought that, well, when an impoverished man attempts to demonstrate reclining, that it has no significance. So the Mishnah is telling us that, well, any way that he attempts to recline is considered reclining. The Yesh Meforshim, another hesber of this line, isn't focusing so much on the method of reclining, but rather the adali el koi. That this line is going back on the issue of the eating, that the poor man should not eat until darkness, until Seder night. Afilu oni shebisrael, even a poor man. Pirush, afilu oni shelo ochal kama yomim, a poor man who maybe hasn't eaten for a number of days. So one might have thought, well, since he hasn't eaten already for a number of days, so if he eats something Erev Pesach, it's not going to really interfere too much with his desire for the matzah. You can rest assured he will have a strong desire for the matzah even if he does eat Erev Pesach, because he hasn't eaten for a number of days. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling the Oni, Lo Yochal Ad Shetechshach, don't eat until darkness sets in. So the Tub Shotim, to say them over, to repeat them in a brief fashion, this line of the Mishnah is either, the emphasis is placed on the method of reclining of the poor man, that it is considered significant anyway, even though he doesn't have all the means and the accoutrements for accomplishing that. The second shot has to do with the desire level for eating the matzah. We're telling him, don't eat Erev Pesach, even though in the case of the Oni, it might not have interfered with his desire level. Nevertheless, he is to be like everyone else and not eat Erev Pesach Somuch Lemincha. The Mishnah goes on to talk about the wine. V'lo yifchusu loy me'arba koisus shel yayin. A person, and we may say that this is addressing the Oni again, the Meforshim point out, the commentaries point out that this is addressing the Gabbait Stoka. The Gabbait Stoka shall make sure that the impoverished ones have no less than 4 cups of wine, Vafilu min hatamchui. Even if you're dealing with the most impoverished of individuals, who supports and who receives support from the Tamchui, which is a Stoka collection that's designed to be divided out to someone who has very, very little subsistence. He is given, he's fed from the Tamchui. Even so, he is to get 4 cups of wine. Let's take a look at the Rashbam on this section. Vafilu, Rashbam says, Hu misparnes mitam hui shel tzedaka. Even if you're dealing with a poor man who receives his support from the collection dish, Dainu oni shibaniyim. This is a reference to the most indigent of the poor. Disnad b'maseches peah. It says in Maseches Peah, Mishi yesh loy mozon shtei sudos lo yutal minatam chui. Someone who has the means of acquiring 2 meals, he already is considered above the qualification level for tam chui. So you can see we're dealing with someone who, he who does withdraw from the tam chui, who gets sustenance from the tam chui, doesn't have the means of buying even 2 meals. Afilu hachi. Himlo nosnu lo gabait stoka. If the gabait stoka has not given him the arba kaisis, yimkor es malbushoi o yulve o yaskir es atzma b'shvil yain la arba kaisis. The Mishnah is telling this person that when it comes to Pesach night and you haven't received funds for the arba kaisis from the gabait stoka, sell your clothing or borrow or hire yourself out to get the means of acquiring the 4 kaisis, the 4 cups of wine. The Gemara. Gemara asks a question. This is a long question, and you can see this by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. My irya arve psochim. Why does the Mishnah emphasize the prohibition of eating only with respect to the Erev Pesach, the day, the afternoon hours before the Seder night? Afilu arve shabbos v'yamim tovim nami. There is a restriction in eating even with regard to Friday afternoons and other yomim tovim as well. You have Sukkos and Shavuos to take into consideration as well. Disanya, you have the following Tanaic source. Lo yochal odom ba'arvei shabbosos v'yom tovim min ha-mincha ulamala. A person is ordered not to eat on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov from the in the afternoon hours min ha-mincha ulamala kedei shikones l'shabbos kshu ta'avo divrei Rabbi Yehuda, so that he enters Shabbos with a desire to eat. So he should enter Shabbos with a desire to eat the Shabbos meal. And if he comes into Shabbos already full, he won't be eating his Shabbos meal with a sense of desire and appetite. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Ochel v'holech ad shetechshech. Rabbi Yossi seems to have a lenient opinion with regard to Erev Shabbosus and Yom Tovim. Says you can eat until darkness. So the question is, why does our Mishnah emphasize the eating restriction with regard to Erev Pesach when this restriction could have been characteristic of any Shabbos or Yom Tov? So what's the need for our Mishnah? We have a couple approaches to answer this. We have Rav Huna. We've underlined his name and called him number 1. A few lines later, you'll notice Rav Papa is underlined, and we call him number 2. Omar Rav Huna, lo nitzricha elo l'Rav Yossi. Our Mishnah that emphasizes the restriction with regard to Erev Pesach, seemingly only Erev Pesach, this is necessary to be taught according to Rav Yossi. The Omar Rav Yossi, who we just saw in the Tanaic source that the Gemara quoted, who said, Ochel v'holech ad shetechshach. Rabbi Yossi had no restriction, eating restrictions with regard to Erev Shabbos and Yontif. So where Rav Huna points out, Hani Mili, Rabbi Yossi's leniency is Ba'arve Shabbosos v'yomim tovim. It's only with regard to other holidays and Shabbos. Aval Be'erev Pesach, however, for the 14th of Nisan, which is the day before the Pesach Seder night, even Rabbi Yossi concedes that there is an eating restriction. Mishum chiyuva de matzah moide. He concedes because of the obligation concerning the eating of matzah. With regard to the other holidays, you don't have a specific Torah obligation of eating a specific food, even though, of course, there is a mitzvah of eating on Shabbos and eating on Yomim Tovim, but nevertheless, it's not a specific Torah obligation like you have with regard to the Seder night. So because of the concern surrounding the eating of the matzah, which is a special mitzvah, a special chiyuv, even Rabbi Yossi concedes that Erev Pesach, one must restrain from eating. Rav Papa, a second approach, Rav Papa Omar, Hafilu Teimo Rabbi Yehuda. You can say that there is a necessity for our Mishnah, even with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Well, you'll ask, but Rabbi Yehuda has an across-the-boards eating restriction. So the Gemara will point out in a moment that even Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that the Erev Pesach restriction is a little different than the restriction one finds on Erev Shabbos and other Yomim Tovim. Hosam ba'arve Shabbosos v'yomim Tovim min ha'mincha ulamala hu de'osir samuch l'mincha shori. Here we have to be very specific, something that we had not been earlier when we were learning the Mishnah, specific with regard to times. With regard to Erev Shabbos and Yomim Tovim, the term that was used, that Rabbi Yehuda used, was min ha'mincha l'mala. Min ha'mincha l'mala, we will, for convenience sake, say from 3:30 in the afternoon onwards. However, samuch l'mincha, from 3 o'clock till 3:30, there is no restriction. So the time where there is a restriction with regard to Erev Shabbos Shabbos Yomim Tovim is what's called min ha'mincha l'mala. We might point out that the day is broken up into different sections, and one of the time periods of the day is called mincha k'tana. Mincha k'tana, and you can see this on the chart that we've provided at the very bottom of the page. Mincha k'tana is a time of day that if you were to measure the day from 6 a.m., which would represent the Neitz HaChama, the rising of the sun, ending with the setting of the sun at 6 p.m., 3:30, which is 2.5 hours before the Shkia, represents Mincha Ktana. So when it comes to Arve Shabbosis and Arve Yomim and other Arve Yomim Tovim, the eating restriction is from 3:30 onwards till darkness, when of course Shabbos and Yom Tov set in. However, Samach L'mincha, the time period from 3 to 3:30, or any time before 3:30, there would be shari means allowed, no restriction. Continuing in the Gemara, Avol be'erev haPesach, when you're dealing with the afternoon before Pesach, before the Seder night, afilu samuch l'mincha nami osir, there is a restriction from 3 o'clock onwards. In other words, that even with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who has a general Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos restriction, the nature of the Erev Pesach restriction is more serious, more restrictive than the other holidays. The Gemara now asks a question. This is a long question, and you can see that it goes till the fourth line from the top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to focus on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and by asking on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, we will be bringing into question the approach that Rav Papa has taken as far as the need for our Mishnah. Just to go over the main point with regard to Rav Papa, the Mishnah has significance with regard to Rabbi Yehuda insofar as Erev Pesach within the spectrum of Rabbi Yehuda is actually different than Arve Shabbos Yom Tovim, and that in that Erev Shabbos, according to Rav Papa's presentation of Rabbi Yehuda, Erev Shabbos and Yomim Tovim, Rabbi Yehuda provided an allowance from during the time called Samuch L'mincha, namely from 3 to 3:30. The Gemara will now bring that into question. The Gemara asks, Ube'erev Shabbos Samuch Lemincha Shori? Before we go any further, we should note some of the markings. We've been using a double underline, and that was explained in the Mivneh heading in the outside margin to highlight these time periods, Arvei Shabbos V'Yomim Tovim and Erev Pesach. We also used a dashed underline under the word Shori, and we have arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, because this is going to be the focus of this long question. It was claimed by Rav Papa that that Samuch Lemincha, with regard to Erev Shabbos and Yontov, would be allowed Lefi Reb Yehuda. At this point, we're going to question that. Is that so, that he allows the Samuch Lemincha, the 3 o'clock time period, from 3 to 3:30, as an allowance with regard to Erev Shabbos and with regard to Erev Shabbos? So the Gemara asks, is that really so, that Erev Shabbos will mechut shari v'ha tanya? We have the following source. Lo yoichal odom be'erev Shabbos v'yomim tovim mitesha shos ulamalo kedei shikones l'shabbos kshutavo divrei Reb Yehuda. You'll notice we've dashed underlined mitesha shos ulamalo. If you notice on our chart at the bottom, we have numbers 1, 2, 3, etc., and you see a number 9. The end of that block, or a point in time called 9, is actually 3 o'clock on the wall clock, or on your wristwatch. So the halacha here is saying that mitesha shosama means from the end of the ninth hour onwards, namely from 3 o'clock, one is not to eat, so that he enters Shabbos with a desire for the Shabbos meal. And who says this? Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yossi Yomer Oichel V'Holech Ad Shetechshach. With this particular point in mind, you see that Erev Pesach is not unique according to Reb Yehuda. We've also dashed underline his name in this Tanaic source. So with regard to Reb Yehuda, Erev Pesach is not unique. We find a restriction from 3 o'clock onwards on Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov in general. So the question is, what significance is there in emphasizing Erev Pesach as our Mishnah does when there is an across-the-boards restriction with regard to Reb Yehuda on every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, a restriction from 3 o'clock on? Contrary to what Rav Papa claimed, we have a bracketed section which, for the immediate purposes, tells us to skip, and we also have an explanation indicating that this question remains till the top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. And if you have Kuf Omer Aleph available, you'll notice 4 lines from the top. The Gemara, in fact, says, Elo machvarto kiderav huna. The more appropriate explanation of our Mishnah is according to Rav Huna's explanation, that Erev Pesach had to be emphasized as an eating restriction time according to Rav Yossi. So the purpose of the Mishnah is... It's a Mishnah taught with Reb Yossi in mind, or according to Reb Yossi, where only Erev Pesach is there an eating restriction, not so with regard to Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. We have this bracketed section, and before we read the Gemara, there are numerous details. When we speak about eating restrictions, there will be more clarification of what is meant by an eating restriction as the Dapim of Gemara continue later. But for our purposes, we're explaining the Gemara according to the information that we have at hand, not in light of explanations, further details that will be shown later. We have the bracketed section that appears at the bottom of Tzadi Tesamut Beis that we just skipped. Now we're going to go over it. Within the bracketed section, there's an attempt to short-circuit the question by raising the possibility that the source itself is not reliable. if we can knock out the reliability of the source, then the question falls away and would leave Rav Popa in good shape. However, that attempt is not going to be successful, and therefore the question will remain, and as we saw already, the Gemara will revert back to Rav Huna's pshat in the significance of our Mishnah, meaning that our Mishnah is taught according to Rav Yossi. So let's now read the bracketed section. Omar Marzutra. Man leim olon de mitartzosahi. Who is to suggest, or who is to guarantee, that this Tanaic source, mitartzosah, would mean, for our purposes, would be accurate? Who's to say that it's accurate? Dilma mishabeshtahi. Maybe the Tanaic source is inaccurate. It has a shibush, a mistake in it. And as Rashi suggests at the top, and the Rashbam as well, that instead of saying Mitesha Shosulamalo, it should have said, like we saw in the earlier source, Min Ha Mincha Ulamalo. And the Min Ha Mincha Ulamalo would have really meant Mitesha Shosulamechtsa. That you can see in the Rashi at the top of the page. That instead of saying Mitesha Shosulamalo, it really means to say Mitesha Shosulamalo, meaning that on Erev Shabbos and other Yomim Toivim, the restriction is from 3:30 onwards and not from 3 o'clock onwards. However, the Gemara says that the source as it appears is accurate, and it says Mitesha Shosulamalo in the context of Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the way it is. And therefore, there is really no difference between Erev Shabbos and Erev Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Leim Reimar Vitema Rav Yemar. Rav Yemar, other versions have Rav Yemar answering and saying, Ano ikloi lepirkei de Rav Pinchas brei de Rav Ami. I went to the lecture of Rav Pinchas, the Kom Tono, the Toni Kamei, and the Tano. The Tano is someone who is responsible for saying over Tanaic literature in Shiurim, in lectures. So the Tano got up and said over the source as it is, namely, Mitesha Shosulamala, the Kiblo Mine, and Rav Pinchas accepted it as is. He didn't question the accuracy of that, indicating that the source is accurate as it is. Well, Ihochi Kashia. Well, and if that's the case, then the original, the question is reinstated. Namely, why is Pesach emphasized as an, with its Erev Pesach? Why is Erev Pesach emphasized as a unique eating restriction time when that same eating restriction applies to Erev Shabbos and Yomim Tovim as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda? So, Elo, machvarto k'Rav Huna. Rather, it's more, machvarto means cleaner, or it's more likely, or it appears that the accurate answer as to what is the significance of our Mishnah is, as Rav Huna explained, it's necessary to be taught in light of Shitas Rav Yossi, who, in general, when it comes to Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, has an eating relaxation, leniency, but only with regard to Erev Pesach is there a restriction. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.